All right, so a recap, and the thing I forgot to mention in last week's message, and Ron and I, we talked about, what was it, Peking man, or what guy was it? There's many different ones. Was it Peking? I didn't mention too much about the skulls and Peking man and how many people say, look, we have all the evidence of the transitional state of humans. They don't. They really don't. But the best place you can find where all bunch of scientists are talking on this matter, if you go on YouTube, you can watch is Genesis History documentary. Really great documentary by so many different types of scientists who break it down and tell you this is what it is. The number one reason is it's not that there's not evidence. It's what they were trained to believe. If you ever took the time to look at the history of evolution and man and his forming, you will see how much deception there is because people don't want the truth. You know that. If there's evidence for a God, that means we're all accountable. And that's the number one thing. Romans talks about that. So that's one thing I didn't mention. Go online and you can watch it on YouTube. Is Genesis History documentary. A really, really good documentary. It's about an hour and a half. You can watch it for free. All right, so open your Bibles once again to Genesis chapter 1. And verses, we're going to look at, and we're going to go back actually to look at verses 27 through 28. Actually, I forgot to mention, while you're doing that, I'm going to mention some of these announcements that I generally forget. Keep looking. The women's retreat is coming up. You know that will be Friday up there. So you can all come down at like 3. It's supposed to be 3. If you come a little bit earlier, that's okay. You'll see me up there setting up. That's this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And, of course, we always have the most excellent way. Mondays at 7, room 100, and the Gatekeeper's Prayer. May 22nd is the Women's Bible Study, and it's about faith. Who are you going to invite, ladies? That's right, ladies. Room 100, 9 a.m. All right, is everyone there? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And our brother Chuck is talking about Henry Morris, for you watching online, that he has a track that he goes all through the pieces of tooth, and I forgot which that one was called, but they got one tooth. It was a monkey's tooth, but they developed a whole human line through the monkey's tooth. So much deception since the 1800s on in. So Henry Morris, or you could go online, Institute of Creation Research. You can go online and find a lot of stuff. I think we all know that, right? We can go through it and find so much stuff. All right, are we all there? All right. We're going to start from 27 again. So, and I'm sorry, we talked about, I forgot to say this, we talked about what it meant to be in the image of God, what it looked like. We know that it's part of who we are, that we can think abstractly. We can love, we can do so many different things when we talked about it. One thing I didn't mention, and I think Chuck and I talked about it later, that something in this physical is part of the image because you know angels came down in human form. Christ is a human form and he has a glorified body. That was going back to Genesis. So something in this form we don't really know is part of the image of God. And we looked a little bit last week on what that means and how we shouldn't beat ourselves up. And we should respect this image because we were bought with a price. And that was what we left with. This image is God's to do it as he pleased. We decided to put that earring on as a slave to our good master. And we are to watch ourselves, in essence, out there in the world so we don't dishonor God. We're going to go now a little bit more into that, what the image is, on a different way. So verse 27. So God created man in his own image, in the image of God. He created him, male and female. He created them. He created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. We're going to focus in on two things in this couple of verses, or in the first verse. Male and female. Be fruitful and multiply. The rest is talking about how God has given us dominion and we're supposed to subdue it or subject it unto our authority. And then we're supposed to have dominion or government over it. Now, how has man done so far when it comes to the world and ruling over the world and also the animals? Very bad job, right? That's not the way it was supposed to be. We were supposed to take control. And when it says subdue it, that's also keeping everything in check and balance. It's not like telling another lion to eat a lamb because that didn't happen. But you're talking about vegetation, growing, even with people. But we're focusing on male and female and be fruitful and multiply. That's what he said to Adam and Eve, humans like us. He said, be useful. Remember we talked about what the words mean in the culture and even in the Hebrew. Be fruitful, be useful, fulfill your purpose, and continue to make babies. That's what it means. So we're going to talk about a delicate subject, not only in the entirety of the world, non-believers, but also with believers. And the topic is abortion, of course. How does it contradict the be fruitful and multiply? Now, I want to take this slowly and take the time to point out that when we think about abortion, we generally think of women. It doesn't take one person to have a child. It takes two. Unless a person is artificially inseminated, that still had to come from a man. But a lot of blame has been placed on women when it takes men as well. And if, in fact, when you think about it, men are more so to blame than women. If they are not fulfilling their roles as a high priest, there are issues behind that. Not only men, there's also maybe friends that may have told their friends to have them. Also, parents. But we have to understand that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I'm going to continue to say this throughout this message because I don't know none of your lives. I don't know if maybe women, you had one, or men, you told your wife or girlfriend or your daughter to have one. Everyone shares a blame in that, you can say, from the nurse to the doctor who performs it. We're all, the Bible says, guilty in some way or another, or whatever. But understand that in Christ, is there condemnation for that? No. Is there forgiveness? Does he remember it? Because the sin is separated, what? As far as from the east as to the west? Is there any memory in his mind? So if he's forgiven you, and you watching online as well, you need to forgive yourself. That's the past. When you bring it up to him, he's going to say, what are you talking about? So I want to make that very clear before we go into this. Because it is a delicate subject. And more so, in the church, I'm not going to discuss how non-believers deal with abortion. Because it's not expected. But in the church, abortion is divided. Now, I forgot one thing and I need it. Do I have my iPad right there? That's because I wasn't ready. You know what? You're going to have to click for me, Dave. Is it back there? Hold, please. Dun, 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun. Thanks, guys. Thanks for not telling me it's right here. That was the elevator music when, you know, when we're waiting for something. Let me get situated here. All right. So going back to it, I want to focus on Christians. Why are Christians divided? Should they be divided? Were they fed false information? Has the God of science deceived everyone? So I want to start off with an interesting slide. And I'm going to have to go close. You guys can't see it. I did my best. But this is from the Pew Research Center. This was taken in 2018, or it was released in 2018. And it's America's view on abortion by religious groups. Now, you have to understand, it's just religious groups. And it's pretty disappointing what you see. We're going to go from the ones who say legal on the left, that abortion is or should be legal, to the illegal on the right. So the first one is the Unitarian Universalists. 90% say abortion should be legal. Now, I'm not going to go into each of what these denominations believe, but generally you can get the gist of it. Atheist, 87%, which is really unusual that you would see something that's called the church above that. Agnostic, 87% say that it should be legal. Buddhists, 82% say it should be legal, which is unusual for what they believe in, because they believe you should not do any harm to any creature whatsoever living. So there's a debate whether a child in the womb is living or not, depending on how long it is. Then you have the Episcopalian Church, 79% says it should be legal. United Church of Christ, 72%. Hinduism, 68%. What is that one? Nothing in particular. 67%. Presbyterian Church of the USA, 65%. Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, 65%. African Methodist Episcopalian Church, 64% say abortion should be legal. United Methodist Church, 58%. All U.S. adults, 57%. In other words, the medium is that. People in general say that 50% of America's population in the United States say that abortion should be legal. National Baptist Convention, 57%. Anglican Church, 56%. Muslims, 55%. Presbyterian Church in America, 58%. Orthodox Christian, 53%. Catholic, 48%. American Baptist Churches in the USA, 47%. Lutheran Church, Missouri, 46%. Seventh-day Adventist, 42%. Church of God in Christ, 41%. Churches of Christ, 36%. Southern Baptist Convention, 30%. Mormon, 27%. Church of the Nazareth, 27%. Assemblies of God, Pentecostal, 26%. Church of God, Cleveland, 20%. And last, Jehovah's Witnesses, 18%. Now that is a shocking number of believers. And we're only going to focus on the Christians here who claim Christ to say that abortion should be legal. That's a big number. And it's a shame that you have in between those things some who believe less than people who claim Christ. I mean, who say abortion should be outlawed more than the people who claim Christ. The last is Jehovah's Witnesses, 18%. Out of all of them, and if you understand Jehovah's Witnesses, they're a cult. Out of all of them, it's the Jehovah's Witnesses who say the most that abortion is wrong. But even then, you have 18%. How is that possible? So many Christians believe that abortion is okay. What is wrong in the theology? What is wrong in their doctrines? How has the God of this world deceived them? So, let me stop that. So, we would have to ask the question, when does life begin? And that's where you have a graph like that. You know, it's all over the place. We have progressive Christians, and we're going to talk about that because in general, you see a lot of progressive Christians in all of that chart. The problem with it, when you think about progression, you think that's going towards something better. But generally, it's not. We know the Bible says in the last days, many will give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. They will deny the faith. Well, is it true? So when does life begin? And again, progressive Christians say abortion is okay under certain circumstances. There are many Christians, of course, who are going to say, well, it's not. But we're looking at certain things. The first one I want to look at is there's a time frame in that. Is abortion okay in the first minutes, the first hours, month, or at birth? Or is that when life begins? When does it begin? Minutes or birth? Now, if you know anything about when it comes between the sperm and the egg, when a sperm is introduced to the egg and the sperm goes inside, the egg seals itself. Nothing else can penetrate. So when I think of that, that is when life begins. Unfortunately, I had a video that I wanted to reference that you guys can look at. I forgot. But it explains in detail what life is and when it starts. That's our first sign in science. I want to show you in Scripture more than anything, when does life begin? Because we got to base this on the Bible and what God says about life. So again, when you look at it, egg is introduced, it seals. And we're going to talk about our brothers and sisters and what they believe. Is it minutes, hours, months, or at birth when life begins? So I want to look at this first scripture in Jeremiah. I think I have it different here, so I'm going to have to read it from here. Jeremiah says, "Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying," now this is God, remember, saying this, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I formed you in the womb. I knew you. Before you were born, I knew." So here you have two clues if you want to even look at it like that. God says, "I formed you in the womb." The second one is, "I knew you before you were born." When you look at Psalms as well, we're going to look at Psalms 139. "For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb." So here again, David is saying that God formed him in his inward parts. And what does all that mean? If you go back to the first one, "I formed you in the womb." God did it. David says, "You formed me, my inward parts, and you covered me in my mother's womb." What does that talk about? It talks about the developmental stages. It talks about everything that goes on to create that embryo into a human being. That's what it says right there. Now, for me, when I look at that, that tells me that it begins when the sperm enters and the egg seals every other suitor, let's say, and stops them from penetrating. The only way you get twins is because they go in at the same time, or actually it splits. The egg splits, and you have two eggs. I think that's what it is, two sperms, right? Right? So you see what this says. So what does it say? Who formed us? Who knew? God, in the beginning. Before He knew us before we were even created. So you're looking at that, and that's what it says. Here's another one. This has to do also with, we're talking again, Christians and the belief of abortion. So we're going to look at Exodus 21. This is in the NLT. Now, this is the laws when it comes to something, a pregnancy. Remember, this has to do more so, the subject is the baby. Now, suppose two men are fighting, and in the process, they accidentally strike a pregnant woman, so she gives birth prematurely. Now, I highlight it accidentally, and she gives birth prematurely. If no future injury results, the man who strikes the woman must pay the amount of compensation the woman's husband demands and the judges approve. So here you see another clue, accidentally. In other words, she gives premature birth. We know a lot of babies are born premature. And it goes on to say if no injury happens, right? What happens to the man? He just pays a fine. It's talking about two men fighting. Either the woman gets hit accidentally. A lot of women could be there, and she just, all of a sudden, the baby wants to come because she's so stressed out. So here's the rest of Exodus. "But if there is future injury, the punishment must match the injury. A life for a life." Now what that's talking about, if the injury to the child is worse, to the point where the child dies, a life shall be taken for a life. Because it goes on to say, life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, scar for scar. So when you're thinking about what it says, abortion, is it wrong? Is it a sin? Is it murder? Well, what does God say about that? It's not me talking here. If there is further injury to the point where the baby dies, there is punishment and a life is for a life. Now, once again, you see that man's involved in that. Man's involved in all of that. So, I talked about it's accidentally hit. The woman, the baby's okay, there's just a fine. Baby dies, you die, is what the Lord commands. And it talks about a baby in the womb. It doesn't give us a time frame. Now, we know there's a certain time, like it could be like, let's say, a month or less, and the woman knows she's pregnant, something can happen. Baby in the womb, accident. So is abortion an accident? That's what we're looking at. Is it an accident? It's not an accident. It's intentional. Now remember what I said, God's forgiveness. I'm going to say it again to the men, women, and friends, the mothers, the fathers, whoever is the victim, let's say, both who did it and the other people. Whoever did it, there is forgiveness. And we have to remember that. I'm going to continue to say that because when you're thinking about this, you may have been the cause, and it can hurt and bother you even to this day. It's not an easy thing that when you do something like this and then you come to Christ, the devil will come to your mind and try to destroy you. There is no what? Say it. Condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Okay? But we see clear that the Bible says that abortion is murder. If a baby dies, the person must die. And what was the penalty says that, I'm going ahead of myself is what's happening. The penalty for murder, and that's what the Bible says. The penalty for murder is a life for a life. Now, remember, we also know that there's cities of sanctuary. Bible talks about that. But that's accidental death. That's when they can go there if they killed accidentally. We see that also here. If the woman gives birth because of an injury that doesn't lead to the baby's death, you're going to pay a fine. So we're also going to look at, wait a second, I don't want to get ahead of myself. I already said it. How many months was she pregnant? The Bible doesn't say that. We do know that it's a sin. Genesis 9 and 6. I'm going to show this slide. It says I have a slide, but I think I messed up. No, I didn't put this. It says here, whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. Why is that? We haven't got to Genesis 9, 6 yet. For in the image of God, he made man. You know, a big thing is we forget as Christians and people in general that babies are made in the image of God. In the womb, they are already taking on his image. And it can easily be forgotten, especially with science telling us something differently. But here in Genesis 9:6, it says, whoever sheds man's blood, his blood has to be shed, because they were made in whose image? God's image. We talked about what the image was last week. We talked about how man is made in his image, but it's easy for us to see that. It's not easy for us to see the womb. And when you think about when God says how men look at things, we look with our eyes. We judge from our eyes. And he said that to Samuel, but God judges the heart inside. He sees more than we do, and we take on his characteristics. We see things differently. And again, progressive Christians say that under certain circumstances, abortion is okay. So far we saw that it has nothing to do with a time, right? You see that it says God is the one who formed us together in the womb. So what are those circumstances? And this one, I'm going to take as much time as I can because they're relevant. They have to do with issues inside of us. The first one and the major one is rape. And that's a big, big deal. And I want everyone again to understand when a woman gets raped, the woman has nothing to do with it. It's not her fault. It's evil men to blame. And what happens to those evil men if you're looking at the Old Testament? Do I have a scripture for this? No. Deuteronomy 22, 25 to 29 addresses this. In the Old Testament, when a man rapes a woman and she is supposed to be married, has a fiance, the man must die. That's it. He dies. It doesn't say anything about the woman or the man not marrying the woman. Because we know that when you looked at it, Moses gave them that they can write a written letter of divorce because of the hardness of their heart. If the woman is to get pregnant, the man's responsibility was to still marry her. But we know that a lot of people would look for reasons to divorce their wife. The other one was, do I have an echo going on? Echo. Echo. All right, there we go. Echo's gone. So if she has a fiance and she's raped, the man dies. The other one is if she does not have a fiance, the man who rapes the woman must marry her and never divorce her and take care of her for the rest of her life. Why is that? Well, we know in a lot of rape instances that children are born. The man's punishment is, which seems wrong, to marry this woman. Because you have to understand back in those days, in ancient times, women were considered property, right? They were. But you see, as we're looking in Genesis, what does it say? God made them, the male and the female, in his image. And everything I'm talking about is after the fall. So we got to remember that before the fall, they were equal, a helpmate, alongside, help the man. And you see in the New Testament, God restoring that to a certain degree, even though we're in the flesh, that covenant relationship in marriage, that the woman is equal. Man is still the head. He's the high priest. It says the woman is a weaker vessel. There's a balance there. It's not like this. We already know that women are just as smart as men. In fact, women mature quicker than boys do, or girls mature quicker than boys do when they're growing up. That's fact. And you know that, and this is an interesting reason why. Testosterone actually damages the brain. So when it's all of a sudden you're a male, testosterone's introduced and it slows down your brain for a while and the brain has to recover. You could check that out. It's pretty interesting. So when you think about adolescents and males at that age, and the girls are always like, oh, you're so immature. They are, because they're a little messed up in the brain and they're trying to heal. Guys do a lot of stuff when they're young in their teens that you're like, man, how are these people not killed? It's because their brain is a little messed up from the testosterone. And that's a fact. It's pretty interesting. So again, it's going back to what happens in this. When the women were raped in the Old Testament, they either are killed or they have to take care of the woman, because the woman was property. And if no one's going to marry a woman who was raped back then, they wouldn't. She'd be left on the streets. And remember what the Bible tells us about what is perfect religion? That you would take care of the orphans and the widows. What does that mean? That means the helpless people, the people who are shunned from society, who have no one to take care of them. God is our ultimate provider. And he says, if you're going to do this, you are going to take care of this woman for the rest of her life. You will never divorce her. She is going to be your number one. Yes, they may marry other ones back then, but this is your number one woman. And is that a punishment to a man? Well, it can be, you know, because he may say, oh, I didn't want like this woman or whatever. Oh, yeah, you did the crime. You're going to do the time. Either death or taking care of the woman the rest of her life. And when we think about what it is, right, the gift, the Bible says in Romans, wait a second, I don't want to press something and it's wrong. No. In Romans 11:29, the Bible says that for the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. Now, we're thinking about rape again. We're looking at the effects of rape, and sometimes children are born through that. Is it the child's fault? It's not. So I want to show you something here. Here's another slide, and you may or may not see it. It says, it's the Irish Times. A baby from rape is something beautiful from something terrible. The women's podcast, all these women right here, their mothers were a victim of rape, and they were the children of the rapist. Now, when you look at them right there, would you ever think of killing them? Maybe as children. And this is a very difficult topic right now, because again, we don't, as men, can fully understand what it feels like. It's a horrible thing. There was another article that says, every time I look at my child, I see the rapist man in that. And it's really tough. It's really difficult. But here are four women who their mothers said, I will keep the child. It puts it a little bit more into perspective. These women, the child, yes, the Bible says we're born in sin, but it doesn't mean the children are evil. Even though the seed of a wicked person that does this, it doesn't mean that the child will come up that way. How do we know that? Because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There are none righteous, none who does right, right? So even if a person doesn't commit rape, there's other things that a person does that they are wicked. Is it the child's fault? It's not the child's fault. And here you see the four women, like it says, the fruit of that, out of something bad, something beautiful. Now, how would God see this? And that's the thing. It is a gift. Because of the fall of man, God's not going to say, I'm not going to allow you to have children anymore. When God gives us gifts, we are responsible for how we use those gifts. And a lot of people have used this scripture, Romans 11:29, the gift and the calling is irrevocable, especially when it comes to the prosperity gospel, to say that, okay, I have the gift of healing or this or that, and I'm going to continue to do it, and I'll always walk in it. We know that's not always the case. The Lord can take his Holy Spirit from you. But what happens? Why is that? It's because of what they do or don't do. When you look at those gifts that we operate in, they're various gifts. We can operate in different gifts at different times. I know that I have. It's through the leading of the Holy Spirit. But this is what we're talking about that was in the beginning of creation. This is how we procreate, and God's not going to take that back. So it'll always be there. And it's a very difficult thing when you're talking to women because, again, men, we don't know how it feels. It's a torment. It's a torture. And a lot of women, of course, have had abortions because they were raped. Again, if anyone did that, there is no condemnation in that. To a certain degree, we can say, yes, I understand. I couldn't live with myself. I couldn't live with that in there. But then it has to do with Christ and knowing Christ and what he can do with that child and that person, because that's where it leads to, and it leads to sacrifice that we're going to talk about. It's a very, very difficult thing. And I want to emphasize that. And what we do or don't do affects our outlook on that. Because rape is a number one issue. There's more too. You know, there was a time when Barack Obama was running for president. You guys probably know this quote. He said, I don't want my kids punished with a baby. Now, to be fair, a lot of Republicans misquoted that and took it out of context. He was not talking about abortion. He was talking about birth control. That's what he was talking about, truth. But here's a person who's in charge. Here's the president of the United States, or soon to be president of the United States, saying that a child is a punishment. How are people going to take that? Do you get what I'm saying? Whether they're Christians or not, we have a tendency to look to our leaders, whether they're following God or not. It's going to embed in our brain somehow. But it says, but he said a baby is a punishment. Remember, he's not talking about abortion, and Republicans did take that out of context. And you guys know I'm not Republican or Democrat. I am a Christian, and I will vote always what honors God the most, knowing that humans are flawed and they're not always going to honor God, obviously. But you have to vote according to the laws of the Bible. But it's not. Conception was meant to be a blessing, not a punishment. Be fruitful and multiply. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply. Again, going back one more time to these women right there, we see that a child is a blessing. It is. No matter how that child came to be, the child is a blessing. And it's not easy, again, for women and even men to take on maybe someone else's child. If it happens right now, of course, people don't die right now. They're not killed for rape. In the Old Testament, they were. Now we're under the grace. They go to prison and all that stuff. But a lot of, there's a lot of stories of, you know, a husband and wife, they were going to be married, but the woman was raped. A lot of men kept the child. The women and men kept the child and raised them as their own. Of course, a lot didn't. It's a difficult, difficult thing. But what should we do as Christians when things like that happen to us? It happened a lot, and it happens a lot right now. Christians are still getting raped, women, in other countries, and they have babies. A lot of bad things happen to Christians, and we think at times this shouldn't happen to us because we're Christians. We're going to discuss that later on. The fall has corrupted everything. But in the Second World War, a lot of the women, who even Christians who went in there, were abused, and they did have babies from the prisoners, from the guards themselves. Very difficult to understand and to accept. But that's where the grace and the Holy Spirit comes in. Remember, I'm talking about Christians, and we looked at that chart again, and we saw the divide. These are some of the reasons why. And if you were to think to yourself, that would be a great reason. It makes sense. How can a woman deal with this? The man doesn't have to deal with this. He's not going to carry that child for 9 months, be remembered. It's not easy. And that's why it takes two. Even in a fallen world, a man has to be there to support that woman. And if someone's watching and maybe you're in that situation, the man must support the woman and do the right thing and say, yes, we must have this child, because it's not the child's fault. It's not these women's fault. and all the other humans who were born out of these circumstances. Horrible, horrible circumstances amongst many others. We can talk about children dying, children being molested, people, all so many wicked things in the world, understanding that it's because of the fall. So it's supposed to be a blessing. But in this time, there's so many reasons why. And again, rape is one of the major reasons why Christians would say it's okay. But we looked at scriptures that would say it's not. In God's eyes, that child is still a child. The child is no different than any one of us because we were all born in sin. The child is innocent. It's not the child's fault. The blessing of the procreation is still there. God will not take back that blessing, no matter what, who this person doing it. And again, we are responsible for being heirs to this world. God gave it to us, but men do bad jobs. Even many Christians at times, in the way they come across when it comes to abortion. So when you're thinking about that, that's not a good reason either. The next one is incest. Incest, a lot of people would say, okay, you need to have the baby aborted because it's wrong. I'm not going to go into scriptures. We know in the Old Testament, we're going to get into Genesis. We know that Adam and Eve had kids, and those kids married their brothers and sisters until they populated the world. You look further on in Leviticus, and it talks about, okay, you can't marry your sister. You can only marry your first cousin. That's it. First, second, third, fourth, fifth cousins. And a lot of the places in the world, they do that. The issue is now, if you marry even your first cousin, obviously, or your, I don't know, sibling, or it talks about your mothers, your sisters, your aunts, and all these things that are wrong. What does it say if there is incest in the family? It says that they are cursed. Nowhere does it say that you should kill them. Now, that's an interesting thing. They are cursed. They've committed a horrible thing, but they are not to die. Now, even in that, you would take it if incestuous relationship produced a child, the child will live as well. And God must have known this. Same thing happens today. There are incestuous relationships that produce children. A lot of the children come out normal, but a lot don't, because there's an issue with the genes, and that's what it is. But incest... I put the scripture Ezekiel 18:20, and it says this: the son will not bear the sins of the father anymore, talking about now. So the father, even in an incestual relationship, the son doesn't bear it. The baby inside the womb doesn't bear it. Even when it comes to rape, it's not the child's fault. So we see there's a second reason that in the Bible, they're not condemned to death, but they're cursed and they're taken out of Israel. In other words, they become like all the rest of the world who was doing that, because God was separating his people. So that's another reason that Christians can also believe that incest is a good reason for abortion. But the Bible doesn't say to kill them, and it's not a good reason for that. And the third one is unfortunate, but it's deformities. And I want to show you something. This is an interesting, if you go to YouTube, this man and his wife, he has a YouTube channel called Special Books by Special Children. All he features people, kids with deformities, physical ailments, disabilities, and mental disabilities. He gives them a voice. He shows a lot of love to them. And he tells them, you're special. You're great. They have a great time. And he shows that just because someone's deformed, it doesn't mean that they're not made in the image of God. They can still love. They still want to be loved. They still have hugs. And they're human beings under the fall. Remember that. And this may ask you, well, wait a second. I thought God formed us in the womb. Well, we have to understand that under the curse, the fall of man, God doesn't take back his laws, but he works within the parameters. You fall, okay, I'm going to knit you, but if you take drugs, your baby's going to be like this. There's a DNA issue, but I'm going to still cause this child to be. And through these children, blessings occur. There are so many stories of blessings in there. There's this man who's an evangelist, no arms, no legs. The parents kept him. I forgot what he was from another country, but he has a big ministry. And Nick, yes, that's it. Nick, like papavologist or something like that. His name is Nick. And because of this man, so many other people who are like him have come to know Christ and their worth, even when you're not, when you're missing a limb or whatever. They understand their value. All things work out for the good. God knows, even if that happens. Remember, in his disciple asked Jesus, "Lord, why is this man blind? Is it his father's sin or his sin?" And what did Jesus say? Neither. It was for the glory of God. So a child can be born. God can do what he wants. I'm going to allow you to be born without any arms and legs. You're going to be with me anyway in the end. This life is a vapor. So you're going to be out there. You're going to bring other people to come to know me, and they can have a future and a hope and spread the good news that when we are all together, they will have arms, legs, and everything will be great. But this man right here and his channel is wonderful because he gives a voice to all those people. Unfortunately, YouTube has cut off the comments. All the comments are great. Now, what was their reason for this? And I want everyone to know this. The reason is because people can exploit the children. Now, is that true? You can think to yourself, yes. But what about all the children on YouTube that are twerking, that are in bathing suits, that are showing their bodies, that are kissing each other, that are doing stupid things? Is that not exploitation? Is that not allowing people to comment and said, "Honey, you look so fine at 12-year-old. I want to come and meet you," or whatever? Why don't they close that? Why are they going to do that to him when he gives a voice to these children? If you ever look at his videos, a lot of children love the comments because they have friends. They communicate. And it's not easy for children like this to make friends. Your first instinct is to look at the outward appearance because we're humans, not like God, and you're like taken aback. You look at these videos, he asks questions. What do you think people, what do you want people to know? You know, that he says that I love, I can talk. And when you look at me, come up and say, "Hi, don't do this. Ask me why I'm like this." And it's true. But our human nature tends to look at this and say, "These people shouldn't have been born. It would have been better if they aborted them." And a lot of times they can see now and say, "Oh, your baby's going to grow up with Down syndrome or whatnot." You know what I mean? I think about my buddy Carrie, who used to be here. Down syndrome, a blessing. He's 56 years old now. When I was at his house, I think a couple of months ago, he came in town and we celebrated his birthday. What a blessing he is. And when he saw me, he was such a blessing. Donut Sunday was for him. I would announce Donut Sunday for him. He would be over there and I'd say, "Hey, Carrie, what is it?" And he would say, "Donut Sunday." He's a blessing. How else is he a blessing? When I used to take him to the doctors with his parents, we would go and he would go to one of his Jewish eye doctors and say, "I got Jesus." He would say that all the time. "I got Jesus." Look at Carrie, my brother Carrie, preaching the gospel, who's a blessing to others, who makes people smile, right? But yet as Christians, and understand, my gripe is with Christians, can even say, "Well, you should, because it's going to cause hardship for you. You're going to have to take care of a child the rest of your life." It is difficult. It really is difficult. And again, I'm going to go back to it. If you aborted your child because of deformities, there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. All these children are with the Lord Jesus. How do we know that? Because we know what David said. "I will go to him, but he will not come to me." A baby that the Lord took, actually. So remember that there is no condemnation and the children are with the Lord Jesus. But you should probably write YouTube and tell them to turn on the comments. They were really distraught. This guy and his wife did a video and they're crying and they're really upset because of what they did for the sake of the children, because they give the children a voice when the rest of the world can either say, "Oh, you know, they're not worth anything." But I gave you two examples. My brother Kerry, who can preach the gospel, and that other guy who has no arms and legs who's preaching the gospel, Nick. They're blessings. Every child, every baby, every fetus is the image of God, no matter what the circumstances. And Christians should not think that there is a reason for abortion at all. And I think that's my issue. And again, you can't, to a certain degree, blame the Christians who follow that, because their doctrine may be skewed. What they're being taught in the church is wrong. A lot of Christians have done injustice when it comes to the battle for life. You know, they may point fingers and say, "You're going to hell." Well, who's going to want to hear that? You know, where's the compassion of Christ? Instead of healing the wound, that's very deep when it comes to this. So, the other reason was deformity. Excuse me. All right. And the last one we have, the last one that I found, was the life of the mother. Here is another one that's difficult, more so. She's a mother and she may have more kids. The woman has to decide whether she's going to give her life up for the child in crisis pregnancies like that. And it's difficult for us men to understand. And someone can say, well, you don't know what it's like. It's all on the woman. She is the one. The mother needs to live. She has other kids. She has a husband. They need her. But can men understand what it's like to give up their lives? Well, all we have to do is think about war. And men have been giving up their lives for their pregnant wives and girlfriends at home since war began. It's in them to protect, because that's what God designed us to. So in their minds, when they go to war, they're protecting their families. They're protecting their right for life. They're protecting their freedoms. And it's a shame that not only our military and our cops are being put down so much because of, gosh, what did we start off with? With not secular humanism. With I went through the whole thing. I totally forgot what it is right now. But the viewpoint of the world, that they're being disrespected so much. And my brother Jerry Lee here, who served in the Air Force, very blessing. You know, you did your duty for your country and for God. And right now, of course, you know, they're looked upon, but men know what it's like to give up their lives for their families. They do, because they've died. A lot of men have died in wars for the sake of their families, and that's what it's about. Now, granted, a lot of times the wars were not genuine. It was for money or whatever the case was, but the heart of the men who served looked at it differently. It's never the soldier's fault, really, it isn't. So that's another reason. So it's difficult when you're thinking about that. Should we sacrifice? Should a mother not sacrifice? Where does it all lead to? And you guys are going to probably be able to follow me. And when we think about this, we think about being Christians. We think about many brothers and sisters who believe that abortion is okay. And I hope so far I've given you the reasons why, even when it comes to rape, incest, deformity, and the mother's life, it doesn't mean that we should give up that child. Why? And we're going to look at this. We're going to look why. How do we pick up the pieces of a shattered worldview or theology when it comes to our brothers and sisters in Christ who have fallen into this false belief that abortion is okay under certain circumstances? I think I've given enough information here to show that God does not condone it under any circumstances, because it's still life. If that was the case, we should all die, because we were all born in sin. You see what I'm saying? God could have chose to say, I do not no longer want to sustain you guys. I'm going to wipe you guys out all, because you're just rotten. Because in his eyes, we're all evil. Of course, when we don't know Christ. Where all these things I pointed out, we are all guilty. And God is the only one who could decide to say, I want to abort all of you. And he can. But he didn't. And we see that, right? We're in Genesis. We're in creation. We see God says everything is good. Human is good. Life is good. Babies are good. Therefore, the opposite is true. Abortion, murder, chaos, disease is not good. So we have to remember that, even to the point if we give up our lives. And I have it somewhere right here, but how do we change all this? And the Bible tells us, first off. It says in Romans, if I have this, yes, I do have it. Romans 12:2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Why are so many Christians believing that abortion is okay? You saw the percentages. Because even in the church, we know that there's a split. Not only when it comes to abortion. You have homosexual pastors. You have transgender pastors. And they're saying it's okay. Now understand, we say we hate the sin, we love the sinner. In the Bible, it's clear. But a lot of people twist scripture. They believe that there's different letters, different Pauls, and they pick and choose. Right here it says what? Don't be conformed to the theology of this world. Remember, Satan has his theology. We know that because he says it is written when he tried to tempt God. Throw yourself off because it says he will give angels charge over you so you will not dash your foot against a stone. He twists the scriptures. Many people, because of their own desires, say, no, it's me first. And that's what it is. That's exactly what it is. Here it says, don't be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? So you could know what is good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. Is it God's will for a baby to be aborted in any circumstance? Well, no, it's not. So, what's my time? We're going to run a little long, and I'm going to try to get through this. So, I want us to take a look on how are we to transform our thinking. And I don't, when I say we, I'm talking to the body in general, and someone may be watching online who holds the point of view that it's okay to abort under these circumstances or at this time frame. But I told you, once the sperm enters the egg, it seals. Life begins. Image of God is right there in life. Because if you leave it alone, it's life. So open your Bibles to John 15. Maybe this is why there was no worship also, because it's only 8 o'clock and generally we end around 8:30. So, when you guys get there, let me know. Good enough? All right. We're going to read the entire chapter. Right? Now remember, the biggest issue, I think, is when Christians don't understand what God wants is because they do not understand or maybe read the Bible enough. A lot of Christians go to church, hear what the pastor says, and that's it. But there's a lot of things pastors don't say. You need to have the word in you daily on your own. And we have to go back to Jesus to see how do we get out of these circumstances. So I'm going to read through this really quick, and I'm just going to touch on a couple of things. How do Christians who have fallen into the belief, we saw the chart again. Let me put it up one more time. All these Christians believe that abortion is okay. There shouldn't even be 18% on the bottom, much less 70%, 80% of Christians believing that abortion should be legal. It shouldn't be that way. So we're going to read in John. I'm going to start off with 1. And this is Jesus talking. Remember, our Creator, our Redeemer, our salvation, the one true God. This is God talking to us in the flesh. Excuse me. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Fruits of repentance, righteousness. And he's talking to people who are in Christ. You must be in Christ to be in the vine in some way. Verse 3. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. You must adhere to the doctrines of the Bible and its true theology about what it says about life. Verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and they throw them into the fire and they are burned. If we are not in Christ, what we know about Christ, our faith, our belief, understanding who he is, will wither and die. And we give it up and we're burned. In essence, we walk away because nobody loses their salvation. You give it up freely. All right. Verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Understanding that our desires becomes his desires, not a name and a claim it. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Here you see he's glorified by the type of love that Christ gives us. He says, abide in me. My love, not the love of the world that is corrupt in every form. I've said this before. People in the world, and including Christians, believe that love and the arts have not been corrupted. Love is totally corrupted. Our love is selfish. We love someone. We want to be with them because we want them. We're going to talk, and God's going to explain to us. Jesus right here is going to tell us what the perfect love is and how we should walk. So not our love. We have to understand that everything is under corruption after the fall. Verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Keep his commandments, his word, his teachings. That's how you stay in the true love of Christ, knowing his word. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love, Christ is our example for us, the perfect human being. He showed us an example of what true love is. 11, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. Abide in him, you have his love, you have his joy. 12, this is my commandment. Say that again. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. How is that love? Right here. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down one's life for his friend. So when you're thinking about the reasons for abortion, when you're thinking even about the mother, and many of mothers have laid down their lives for their children, that is the love of Christ. That is the love that God wants us to have for each other as Christians. And as Christians, we look at that scale again, and that's not the love of the Lord. And if anyone believes that, understand this isn't about condemning or convicting. If there's conviction, praise the Lord, but again, there's no condemnation. If there's someone out there who believes, I don't know anyone, I mean everyone's believes really, but I can say that, okay, you guys probably believe the same thing I do. If you don't, that's okay. The scripture's right here. And again, God tells us, if we love our fellow man, Christians should not believe in abortion in any way, shape, or form. Because we know that's wrong. We saw the scriptures that said it's murder. It's eye for eye, life for life. Again, if you've done this, there is no condemnation because you're restored in Christ. So he says this, my command is that you love one another the way I love you, that you would give up your life for someone else. And that's a fact. That's the way it should be. And when a woman gives up her life for a child, it honors God. It honors Christ. The man himself gave up part of his life because a man and a woman have become one. If the woman perishes in childbirth, part of that man perishes as well. That's a fact because God says they cleave and become one. And if anyone's ever lost a spouse and you love them, you know you die inside. You know there's a part of you that will always be dead. And that's a fact. So he tells us that you have to love the way he loves us. We are to love and esteem others better than ourselves. Right here it says what true love is. Not the world that tells you self-centered. There was another article that a woman said, you know, I'm going to abort this child because I deserve to have a good life. I don't want to be burdened by a child. It's my right. It's interesting when you think about Roe versus Wade. And I forgot what the lady's name was. The one who fought for her right to have an abortion. She's a Christian now. She fights against abortion. She has a ministry. But you do not hear all of this in the liberal news media because their agenda is that you would follow in the ways of the world, in the ways of Satan. When you think about all, like the crisis pregnancy centers, the women's resource center, they're all for children. They try to educate families and women and men to work. Image of God, even in here. And we think, how is that possible? Why is it that we can believe, I told you, you need to believe you're an image of God. And let's think about the woman and the man. I'm an image of the Lord. If I am the image, why isn't that seed in me the image of God? No matter how it comes out. Why is that not an image? Again, God looks at a more right picture. Man looks at what he sees over there. And we, even as Christians, are still under the fall. Our thinking is warped. We don't understand fully. That is why we need to look to Christ and see what he says. We have to be in the word daily because we can easily fall away. So let's move on. I know I'm going over, but it's okay. It's an important topic. So he says the commandment is that you love one another and that you give up your life for one another as I am doing. Christ was our example for every aspect of our life. Verse 14, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. There it is. You are in relationship with me if you follow my teachings and my commands. 15, no longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Jesus is saying, I've made known to you everything you need to live the life that you should have before the fall and to have communion with me again. 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. Here Jesus is saying, I appointed you even before you were born. Here he is talking in the flesh and what he said earlier in the Old Testament. I knew you, I formed you in the womb, I chose you before you were even fully developed. Your fruit should remain, and there it is, your fruit, the fruits of good works, of righteousness, of the Holy Spirit. They should stay because I'm teaching and you're following me. That whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Lord, it's a difficult situation right now. I'm in you. This child came through rape, but help me not to think of myself and have this child. Father and mother, Lord, it's a pregnancy that my wife may die. Give us the strength. Lord, we come to you and say, Lord, protect both mother and child. So you people forget Christ in all of this. Lord, the child looks like it's going to be deformed, but I ask for your grace and your mercy and your strength. It is your will for this child to be born, not what's inside of me in my flesh. Your will be done. Give us the strength, Lord. Show us how we should raise this child or heal this child. Whatever you want, Lord. Incest too. Lord, we understand it's not the child's fault. It's a mistake of us human beings in the fall. Give us the strength and help us to give all these children love, knowing that they are innocent. Now, yes, they're born in sin, but it's a difference. Give us strength. And that's the fault of many Christians who don't ask for the strength of Christ, but choose themselves. That's what truly, truly angers me. Because we say, Lord, Lord, and God says, why do you call me Lord and not do the things I've taught you, I've told you to do? But we've fallen in, so many Christians have fallen into the end times. And they've given heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons and themselves, believing that they can have one foot in the world and one foot in Christ, when the Bible says, be either hot or cold. Jesus says that, or I will spew you out of my mouth. And I think it bothers me so much for the sake of the Christians that they've fallen into this. They've fallen into so many things. If we think right now, many people have said that throughout history, we're in the end times, we're in the end times, we're in the end times, we're in the end times. There's a difference now than ever before. There was never a time in the history of church where it was okay to have abortions under circumstances. It was okay to have homosexual pastors. It's okay to choose your gender and accept them in the church. That has never happened in the history of church. That is a major, major sign that we are in the end times. The church is split like never before. Yes, there was a time of the Catholic Church and they used it for their power, but you still had it. There were still these fundamentals, but man will always use it for power. But that is a big issue right now. The split is amazing. We're accepting things that Christ never accepted. And there are those who say, no, Christ never talked about this. He never talked about, you know, two homosexual people coming together and loving each other. But he says, it is written, in the image of God, he made male and female. He says that marriage is between a man and a woman. How do you have babies? Can you have a baby between? It's obvious. The obvious way. But anyway, we're not going to talk about that right now. Let's move on because I know I'm running really, really late. He says, you did not choose me. He says, I command you that you love one another again. If the world hates you, You know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet, because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. How many seeker-friendly churches would we have? Mega churches where everyone is in there and they love each other and everything's okay. Where's the world hating those Christians? How come there is nothing in those huge churches and a lot of denomination and non-denominations where people go in and they're all blessed, they're all living happy, they go into the world, there is no light shining from them. They are not being persecuted, but Jesus said they're going to persecute you. Why are so many Christians not being persecuted? Because they're so afraid to offend in this society we have that it's the cancel culture that shuts down truth. And we're supposed to bow down to that. No, we're supposed to be persecuted. We're supposed to stand up for Christ and life and everything that happens. But so many Christians show, the graph shows that it's not only the issue of abortion. If that issue, so many Christians are saying it's okay, there's a lot of other things they say is okay. And they're so fearful to speak the truth of Christ because they're going to be persecuted, imprisoned, maybe tortured. Who knows? Well, praise God, He will give us the strength if that happens in America like it's happening in other countries. Fearful. So a lot of Christians, the world doesn't hate them anymore. And it says in 20, remember that the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. Again, Christians are forgetting this, that the servant is not greater than Christ Jesus, and that we need to stand up. If we claim Christ, if these denominations claim that Jesus is their Savior, there should be no doubt after seeing in Scripture that abortion is wrong, that babies are made in the image of God. All right, I'm going to go through it really quick. If they keep my word, they will keep yours also. But all those things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. That's including people who claim to know Christ. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. When God reveals something to us and he shows us the way we should walk, we just got over James. Pastor Tim said it. If you know the things you should do and you don't, it becomes sin to you. Wait, what? I forgot if that wasn't James, right? All right. 23, he who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among you them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. But this happened that the word might be fulfilled which is written in the law. They hated me without a cause. A lot of people hate children, unborn children, without a cause. And the Bible says that whoever hates murders. Murder and hate is the same thing. 26. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And you will also bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. The Spirit of truth comes to lead you to all truth of the word, to convict, to transform us. And yes, he's talking to the apostles, his disciples. We are all disciples of Christ. We discipline ourselves to the way of Christ, not the way of the world. And I want to, did I finish all these? Yes, I did. I want to leave with a couple more scriptures and then we're out of here. Because we see what Christ says. We see that we're supposed to be in his love. We see that we have to give up ourselves for the sake of someone else, right? Greater love has no one that they lay down their lives for another. As Christians, and I'm talking to Christians who claim Christ, not the unbelievers, because there's no reason for them not to have an abortion. But yet, if you look at that graph again, even unbelievers would say, a lot of them say, no, it's not right. Why? You have a conscience. Something inside of you tells you. As soon as a woman says and knows she's pregnant, your mind tells you it's life. Don't mess with it. I'm in control, God says. I mean, it's my image. And it destroys his image. That is the whole purpose why murder is so bad. Not only when it comes to the unborn, but murder in general. That's why it's life for life. But Christians are to do this. And even we heard this, Christians around the world, I think I've given enough evidence to show that the Lord does not condone abortion in any way, shape, or form. We are to sacrifice ourselves. And we need to do what the scripture says. It says here in 2 Corinthians, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? That is a very, very fearful scripture right there. We can walk believing that we are in Christ, but disqualify ourselves because we do not keep his faith, his testimony, his love, and fight for life and all the other things that he is. We are to examine ourselves to see if we are part of the people who say in that graph that abortion is okay, or we on the side that say it's not okay. And that is very critical for Christians right now who are being deceived. Oops. Who are being deceived. There you go. We all need to examine ourselves. And it may not be on this issue, but each individual has to once in a while examine ourselves and see if we have veered. So we know that we're still in Christ. We humans can be very arrogant to tell the Creator when life begins. That's what's happening when you look at that graph. I know better than you, God. I know when life begins. And to me, it's this. Or to me, it's that. And I want to again say that it is not just a woman's fault. It is a man. It can be the man's fault. It can be a parent's fault, a friend's fault. Anyone could have said, go get the abortion. Because the God of science says, this is when life begins. When you can see so many Christian scientists and doctors saying, no, it begins at conception. When the egg closes, we see that. But I want to say to whoever's watching, and I don't know anyone here, if you did have an abortion or you were a part of it, or you allowed your wife or your sister or your child to have an abortion, there's forgiveness. We are to examine ourselves also to change our minds. Remember, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That means that you have to internally ponder, am I following what Jesus just said in John? Am I examining myself? And that's what we need to do. So I want to just close in prayer and pray for anyone who's gone through this and pray us out. And hopefully you guys see that as a Christian, if you're watching online, that no Christian who claims Christ should believe abortion is okay in any instance. We are to die to ourselves and take up our cross or our burdens, even when it comes to a child. So let's pray. Father, we just come before you right now, Lord Jesus, and we thank you for your truth, your word, and your love for life in any form. And we understand how difficult it is, this battle for life and abortion, Lord, when it comes to rape, incest, deformity, and the life of the mother, Lord. But you've called us all, Lord Jesus, to sacrifice ourselves, knowing that to be absent of this body is to be present with you, Lord Jesus. And I'm asking that you would speak to all of those who claim your name but who fall into the deception of the enemy that tells them it's okay. It's not okay, Lord, because it denies you. Babies are your image, Lord Jesus. You blessed humankind to procreate, Lord. You said be fruitful because we were made in your image. And if anyone listening online, if you were part of that, Lord, I just lift them up, Lord Jesus, and I ask that you even pour in their hearts right now. Let them know that they are forgiven. Let them know that they are restored, Lord Jesus, and let them know that there is a future and a purpose. And the children that have been lost to abortion, they are with you, Lord Jesus, and there is forgiveness in you. And remind us to continue to examine ourselves daily, Lord, to make sure we walk in accordance of your love, and that we would shine the light of the love to a dying world, and we would be more bold also, Father, to talk to those who are brothers and sisters who have been deceived, Lord. Your word says that whoever corrects anyone takes a brother or sister out of the fire and saves a soul alive. Lord, the scripture is here that it says we need to examine ourselves, that we're in the faith is dangerous, Lord Jesus. We could forfeit ourselves in you, Lord, because we sear our conscience. So, Lord, I ask for your conviction, Lord Jesus, not the condemnation, your conviction and your restoration, Lord, and that you bring healing. Let them know that the forgiveness is there and you do not remember it. All you have to do is ask forgiveness if that was you. So we thank you for your grace, your mercy, your truth, and your love. Lord, and showing us how much we are to be like you, Lord. And give us the strength to walk like you, Jesus. Give us the power, Lord, to walk in the Spirit and to sacrifice ourselves however you want, Lord Jesus. In the end, let us be like Mary. Let it be according to your will as it pertains to us. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.